I'm going to be preaching out of 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm just going to read just a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 18, do you have it? After many days, and you can stand if you want to. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Can you give me the King James Version? This is going to mess me all up. If you can, I'll just read it. There you go. Now can you... Everybody say, thank you, Felicity. There we go. Let's start over. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send the rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house, and Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And I just want to stop right there, and you can be seated. Now, I want to point out, I want to set the stage here, and I've got a lot that I was going to read, but I'm just going to stop because that thing messes me up, and I just have to do it just like I study and how I do things, so that's going to be okay. So I want you to understand something. There was a famine in Samaria at this time, and it was dry and desolate, and there was not a lot going on, and it was because Ahab, and we'll find later on in the chapter that Ahab wasn't following the commandments of the Lord. Amen? And so many times we do the same thing. We start following after what we want to follow, and we start doing what we want to do, and we start seeking jobs that we want to seek after, and relationships that we want to seek after, and we stop following the commandments of the Lord. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? And Ahab was doing this thing, and he wasn't following the commandments of the Lord. And how many knows that when we don't follow God, we often find ourselves in a dry, desolate place? And I've preached it here before, and I've said it many times. There's times that I have not followed God like I need to, and I've gotten myself into a world of a mess and different things. Oh, but thank God that I found my way back to Jesus. Amen. And then there's times in our life that we don't really have to get wrapped up in just complete immoral sin. Sometimes we just lose our focus and we get out of the will of God. And then we find ourselves away from God because we follow in different things like jobs. Y'all with me? We follow in different things like money. And we find ourselves out of the will of God. And this is where Ahab is. And I want you tonight to associate yourself as Ahab. And the Bible teaches us in verse 1 that there's a man of God and his name is Elijah. And I want you to understand something about Elijah. He was bad to the bone. I mean, Elijah had it together. Elijah knew how to hear from God. Elijah knew how to talk to God. Elijah followed after God. And the Lord spoke to Elijah. He spoke to the man of God and he says, "I want you to go to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth." Now, listen to me. God's already got a plan to bless your life. God's already got a plan to move you forward, no matter what stage that you're in your life, no matter what place that you are, whether you're depressed, whether you're happy, whether you're broke, whether you're rich, whether you're on fire for God, whether you're not on fire for God. God has got a plan for your life. God had a plan for Ahab right here, and he's got a plan for me. And now Ahab is in a dry, desolate place, but there was a man of God, thank God, the Lord, for people that will still listen to the voice of God and people that will still follow after the anointing of God and still run to him, and God could speak to them even on my behalf. And God can speak to them even on your behalf. Have you ever had somebody come to you and give you a word just out of the blue? And thus saith the Lord, God's going to move in your life on this and this and this. Aren't you glad that God speaks to people? And God puts people in our life that will come to us and give us a word directly from the throne room of God. I'd rather have a word from somebody that's living right than all the eloquent speeches, all the doctorates and all this and that. I'd rather have somebody that's following after God that will get me to where I need to get. I find that, and I wish he was here tonight, Brother Davey, but I find myself a lot of times, if I can have a reason to go to Christiansburg to eat lunch for work, you're probably going to catch me coming to eat lunch with Brother Davey while I'm working, because I know that if I can get to Davey, that he carries God. And I like to get a hold of God. So sometimes I'll go find Brother Davey and sit and have lunch with him, because I like to feed off the God that's in him. Amen. I'm sure some people, we all have some people that we go to because we can find God in those people. And that's kind of like Elijah is right here. And the Lord speaks to Elijah and he says, I want you to go to Ahab. And when you get there, I'm going to send some rain. Now that seems like a pretty simple plan, don't it? That seems like a pretty legit plan. Not too much can go wrong, but it was a lot more rough than that just simple plan. Because Elijah takes off to see Ahab, but there was some tension going on there. There's some tension. The Bible teaches us that Ahab, and we can find it, that Ahab really don't think too highly of Elijah. Matter of fact, he says, aren't you the one that causeth trouble? Aren't you the preacher that causes problems? Aren't you the man of God that really ruffles everybody's feathers when you come around? Let me tell you something. If you're a preacher, people ain't going to like you all the time. If you carry the anointing, people are going to not like you. If you walk with God and you have the Spirit of God in your life, people are not going to like you. I told a woman the other day, she said, Paul, I'm so aggravated. I've went to the doctors. My blood pressure is out the roof. And I just ran into this woman by happenstance, but it was a God appointment. And I believe that I was an Elijah in an Ahab's life at that moment. And she said, my blood pressure's out the roof. My family's went crazy. They won't tell me anything. They forsake me. And I said, that's easy. That's because you've got God on the inside of you. And people that's not living right, people that's not walking with God, they can't stand the God that's on the inside of you. It convicts them. I said, you should be proud they're not talking to you. I said, somebody has to stand in the gap so they don't go to hell. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep following after God. Let them get mad. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep seeking God, and He will move on their behalf. Lots of times our family don't like us and people don't like us because we serve God. That's because the God that's on the inside of you and the God that's on the inside of me ruffles people's feathers and they get upset. And lots of times when people get upset and they begin to reject us, we walk away from God because we associate the rejection as being out of the will of God. But that's not true. Sometimes we got to walk with God when nobody else is walking with us. Amen. Amen. And this is kind of like what Elijah did. And during this famine, Elijah was coming, but Ahab's trying to fix his problem. Ahab's trying to fix this famine that they're in, and he tells Obadiah, which is his governor at that time, Ahab's the king, and he tells Obadiah, which is his governor, he said, I want me and you to go out, and we're going to try to find some water, and we're going to try to do some different things and see if we can't get some things situated here. And I believe a lot of you are like that, and even myself. We're going to stay where we're at because we're comfortable with the choices that we made. We've pursued this and we pursued that, and we've not been with God. Now we're living in a dry, desolate place, and then we try to fix it ourselves. How many knows the man of God's coming? The man of God's coming. Now Obadiah, he's out and he's doing his thing just like the boss tells him to do, and he runs into Elijah. And when he runs into Elijah, the Bible says that he knew him. Obadiah recognizes the man of God. See, now Obadiah is a man of God himself. The Bible teaches us that Obadiah feared the Lord. And he'd already, in behind the scenes, done some things for God. And he was afraid for Ahab to know. See, let me tell you something. If you do something for God, God's got people in place to help you get done what you need to get done. Oh, he'll put them there. Now Obadiah, he goes and meets Elijah, and Elijah tells Obadiah, he says, I want you to get Ahab. I need to meet him. And you know what? Obadiah begins to kind of get, listen, preacher, I know you got good intentions. I know that what you want to do is probably right, but we can't quite do it this way. We can't go this way because, see, Ahab don't like you. And I've had them tell me that, like, we'll go to preach somewhere. I know, listen, you just can't get radical and you just can't speak in tongues. You know, you can come and sit, maybe sing a little pretty song, but you can't get wild. I tell him, I say, just let me come. I'll sing a song. Let me come. I'll sing a song. See, I've got sense enough to know if they'll just let me get there, God will do the rest. And if the anointing goes and the anointing comes out, people receive the anointing and then they can't do nothing about it. Can I tell you a story that happened to me one time in Richmond? Actually, it was Fredericksburg. I was in Fredericksburg doing a youth revival and drove all night, seemed like, to get there. And we get there, and Sunday morning, the pastor's wife comes to me and she says, now listen, because I preached the night before, and I think I got a little too radical for them, for the young people. And they didn't know what to do with me. And they thought, oh, my Lord, he's going to preach on Sunday morning and all the old people's going to be there Sunday morning. What are we going to do? So she said, now listen, when you get up to speak, we have to be done by 12 o'clock sharp. Okay. The pastor said, listen, by 12 o'clock sharp, you got to be done. I said, okay, I'll be done by 12 o'clock sharp. I believe not. I'll just obey the pastor, but I've got sense enough to know that when God shows up, he'll just fix it all. So I go in Sunday morning, they tell me this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and blah, blah, blah. And I get up there, and we get through the service, and the more I preach, God just begin to just saturate the place. We're approaching 15 minutes to 12, and I'm circling the airport. Now listen, if you've ever preached under the anointing and you start circling the airport something, I don't know how to land this plane. And that's when you start singing that country song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Because I, Lord, you told me to bring it here. Now God, you're going to have to take the wheel right now. And we get 10 minutes till 12 and 5 minutes to 12 and God's moving and the altars are full of people and they're weeping and crying and people's getting saved. Not because of me, but it's because of the God that lives on the inside of me and that God cares for people that's living in dry, desolate places. And they was all at the altar and I looked at the pastor and I said, it's 12 o'clock. He said, keep going, brother, keep going. I don't know how long we went. We baptized people after the service. But there's something that happens when you let God take control. And God will put people, God will make a way. And God sent Obadiah to Elijah. Now Obadiah's a little bit scared. But he's got sense enough to know that if he'll listen to the man of God and he'll follow after God's will, God will work it out. So they go back and they tell Ahab, Elijah's in town and he needs to see you. The Bible says that Ahab came to Elijah and he looks at him and he says, aren't you the man of God that causes trouble? Aren't you the one that causes everybody to get all ruffled up? Oh, I would rather be labeled as somebody that gets people ruffled up that gets people to Jesus. I'd rather be labeled as a tongue-talking holy roller. Oh, they've called me religious. They've called me holier than thou. They've called me this and that. Oh, but I'd rather be labeled as that than some fake preacher that just lets everybody do what they want to do and not ever tell anybody about a place called hell. I'd rather be labeled as a holy roller and a holier than thou than somebody that didn't tell a lost soul that they were dying and on their way to hell and that there's a Jesus that loves them right where they're at. Oh, label me, honey. Go ahead. Oh, God's going to make a way. He's going to make a way, and He will get me to where I need to go. Somebody give Him a hand clap. Lord have mercy. Now Ahab meets Elijah. And they begin to talk. And Elijah begins to talk to Ahab, and he begins to get down to the deep, dark, and the ugly, as I like to say. And he says, Ahab, you've not been following the commandments of the Lord. But now we're going to have a standoff. God likes to show off. I read this one time. I believe if God has a resume, and He's got a pretty big one, but a flamethrower would be one of His specialties. I mean, He knows how to bring out the big guns. I believe in just one instance, if God wanted to, He could just smoke everybody. And Elijah calls Ahab and he says, now listen, I want you to call all your prophets. I want you to call all your big boys and bring them out. And I'm going to stand right here and we're going to build an altar. And he gets two bullocks or two bulls. And he says, now you all can pick one and I'm going to pick one. And he says, and you pick one. And you dress it however you want to. You build it on the altar however you want to. And don't put a fire under it. And whichever God smokes the or burns the altar, that's the God that we'll serve. See, now Ahab's people, they serve the God of Baal. And so all 450 prophets and all these people, they begin to build this altar and they laid the bull and they dressed it all up and they begin to pray to Baal. They begin to ask their God to burn this sacrifice. And this is what God laid on my heart yesterday. We're just like that. And I hate to say it, I've even been like that. Even though it looks bad in our life, even though we're wrapped up in sin, even though we follow in our own way, it gets so bad that we still try to fix it ourselves. We still try to fix our problems with our job. We try to fix our problems with our money. We try to fix our problems with relationships. We try to fix our problems with this and that. Sometimes it's a different church. Sometimes it's different this or that. We try to fix our problems with all kinds of different things. But the one thing we need the real and true God to saturate us and set us on fire. But we still looking at Baal. We still looking at the gods of this world. We still looking at the different things of this world. Oh, my. Lord, I feel God. Now, they begin to cry out to Baal and they begin to cut themselves and they begin to wail and they laid up on the altar and they begin to scream and do everything that they know to do. And so many times you're doing the same thing. You're doing all that you know to do in your carnal mind and in your worldly mind and in your jobs and different things, and you're crying out to all these things and you're not getting any response. You keep going back to this same relationship and you're not getting any response. You keep going back to this same person and you're not getting any response. This same job, this same thing, and you're not getting any response. Sometimes we go and we buy cars to ease the desolate and dry place. We want money and we're not getting any response that we want. I have been in those places where I'm crying out to different things and different people and I'm not getting no response. And the problem is that I'm crying out to the wrong God and not even realizing it. Crying out to Baal and not even realizing what I'm doing. Oh, but Elijah, he's standing there, the man of God standing there, and he looks at them and he begins to mock them and he begins to get a little cocky. Sometimes it's okay to get a little Pentecostal cocky. Is that okay to say? Now, I don't mean to do that all the time, but sometimes it's okay to know where you stand with God. Sometimes it's okay to start proclaiming God and know what you have. Elijah knew what he had with God, and he began to mock them. And he said, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a trip. Maybe he's on holiday. He might be in the bathroom for all I know. Where is your God? And they cried and they cried and they cried and they run themselves to death. And the Bible says that at noon, Elijah said, now this pony show is over with. It's time to get down to business. And I'm going to ask you a question tonight. When are you going to stop having this standoff with God? When are you going to stop looking at the man of God? And when are you going to stop coming to the church every Sunday morning and having this standoff with God and trying to fix it yourself? And you know that you're serving the wrong God. You're all up in a mess and you need to run to an altar of salvation and say, God, consume me with your fire. Elijah said this. Dog and pony show is over at 12 o'clock, and he begins to take that altar and he begins to fix it and build it back up. And he lays the bullock on it and he tells them, bring me some water. And he takes a barrel of water and he pours on it. And he said, that's not enough. And he said, get me another one. And he takes that one and he pours on it. And he said, that one's not enough. And he said, go get a third one, and he pours it on it. You know what's funny about that? Sometimes God will take your problems even further and take you to a place that you absolutely have to know that it's God. I had God speak to me here recently, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but he said, I'm going to take you to a place that you know that I moved for you, and there ain't nobody else that can do it, that you couldn't have done it on your own, but I'm going to take you to a place. I'm going to take you to a place that you know that I moved for you. I was in Charlottesville preaching a youth revival a while back, and a man came up to me. I was broken, and I've told you the story, but he came to me and he says, I know you're going through it. And I thought he was kind of a Fruit Loop, if you want to know the truth about it. But he told me, he said, where you at, God's going to make a real man of God out of you. And that's what God will do. He'll begin to pour water on the situation. And you say, God, this ain't getting any better. You're just making it look worse. Oh, my, he's got a plan. I said, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. Oh, you'll be trying to do something for God, and there ain't no money in the account. I remember one time I had to go to Tennessee to preach, and I was in a Roanoke somewhere way back out into the sticks doing a service, and I had to leave that night and go all the way to Tennessee. And when I went to the church in Roanoke, I knew when I went there I had enough money to get to where I needed to go to preach, but there wasn't enough money to get back home. And I knew that if I followed after God and I was really serving him to the best of my ability, he was going to make a way. And I believe that's what God was doing with me. He was pouring water on the altar. Not only did they pour water on the altar, they dug trenches around the altar and filled them up with water too. Now it looks even worse. Elijah says this. He said, I'm just one man, but there's 450 of them. Can I give you a ministerial tidbit of advice? Lots of times in the will of God, there's not a lot of people walking with you. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Listen, lots of times in ministry, there's not a whole lot of people walking with you. Right. Now, you'll look at the world, and you'll look at the God of Baal, and you'll see 450 people working together, and they're crying out, and you think, oh, man, that church looks good. Oh, man, look at that. That looks awesome. Oh, but I'd rather stand alone with a God that I know is real.
Glory.
Go get me the barrels, boys. We're going to put some water on this. You lonely? God's just putting the water on you. You broke? God's putting the water on you. You hurting? God's putting the water on you. You don't think you're going to get out of this situation? He's digging a trench and filling it full of water too. Everybody's walked out of your life, and he's putting the water on it. And everybody's looking at you, all 450 prophets, all the big people, and you just one man putting water. And Elijah began to pray. And when he began to pray, the Bible says that fire came from heaven and burnt the offering, licked up all the water, the dust, the stone, the wood, everything was consumed. Everything was consumed. Now let me tell you something here. You keep following after God. You keep walking after Him. And you do everything that you know to do, even when it gets bad, even when it gets more worse, and when it gets even worse than that. You keep serving God. You keep following after Him. And I'll guarantee you that one day you're going to pray, and at that minute, God's going to consume that altar, everything that you put forth, everything that you put your whole life into. And it seemed they put water on it. God's going to consume that and set it ablaze. I dare you to just lift your hands and say, God, set me ablaze. God, take me to a place, that nobody else have been. Oh, the 450 people can cry out to a false God. They can keep running for the world, but I want a God that can set me on fire. I'd rather be real than fake any day. I told God last night when I was laying out on the floor, I said, God, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be just another preacher. I don't want to do it for the money. God, I want to be real. I want to see people set free by the power of God. I want to see your fire fall on their life and they begin to run to you and get saved. Oh, I want to be real tonight, church. I don't want to be fake. I want God to consume my altar. I don't care if He has to put 100 truckloads of water on my situation. I don't care if He has to put dirt on it, put rocks on it, whatever you want to do, God. I'm following the one that knows the way, and do what you got to do, God, because one day I'm going to pray and fire's going to come down and consume all that I've put my effort in. Oh, isn't it good tonight, church? Isn't it good? I said, isn't it good tonight? God's not dead. I said, God's not dead. He's still alive and He's still very real. Oh, His church is still strong. We had the State of the Union address, and President, the state of our union is still strong. Let me tell you, the state of God's union is still very much strong. It's still very much powerful. And the question is, are you going to tap into it? Now, I want to take you back to the first problem. Ahab's living in a dry and desolate land. Famine. Now, God's done showed up and He's done rained fire and He's done proved that He was God. And I believe tonight, and I want you to understand, God's going to prove. If you're going through something tonight, God's going to prove to you that He's God. He's going to show His fire and He's going to show Himself and He's going to prove to you that He's still God. Listen to me, your work's not over. God's not done with you yet. He's going to show up and prove to you that He's still God. And when He does, I got some good news for you. That's not the end of the story. We come to church and we feel God and we feel His fire. And there's been many times that I've come through the altar broken and hurting, and God's consumed me with his fire, and it's been real. But I have oftentimes forgotten or didn't even know about the next piece that comes along. You know, when God, I heard a preacher say this, when God starts pouring, the Bible says that our cup runneth over. And when God starts pouring, he keeps pouring, and it fills the cup up, and then it begins to run over. And lots of times people call that excess. And if we was to take a glass of water and we was to set it on the kitchen table and we would begin to pour that water into it, and it would fill the cup up and then run out the cup and run out on the table and the floor, people call that excess, but God calls that blessings. Amen. And God, he just begins to pour into your life, and he keeps pouring, and he keeps pouring. Oh, and we're trying to clean it up. We're trying to fix this. And wait a minute, God, you're moving too much. I don't know if you want me to go to India. God, I don't know. I don't know about what to do with all this. And he just keeps pouring. He keeps pouring. Oh, somebody say, God, keep pouring on me. I told God the other day, I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. God, speak to me. God, put, Lord, if you want me to clean the bathrooms, God, whatever you want me to do, I've got sense enough to know I want him to just keep pouring, keep pouring. I know one day he's going to set my altar ablaze, honey. It's time to bail from the bail God. You know what I mean? It's time we turn from the world and quit following the world and quit following the ways, because there's a God that's going to show himself. But we run to the altar. And we feel the fire of God, and we have goosebumps like we did this morning. Did y'all not realize the power of God that was in here this morning? It was almost every seat in this church was filled. The altars was full from that side to that side, down that way. People praying everywhere this morning. Honey, God's showing himself. But the story don't end there. The story don't end with the fire falling from heaven. That's Pentecostals. We mess up there. The fire falls, and then we just, okay, we're going to come back and see the show again next Sunday. See the show again next Sunday. And that's good. We need to see the show. We need to see God show up. But there's an underlying problem. We're still in a dry, desolate place, and God's not addressed that yet.
All right. Praise God.
Oh, God's not addressed that yet. I believe God was showing himself this morning, but if all of us that was in here, there had to be probably 250 people in this building this morning. And I believe God was showing himself, but if all of us would realize that the story don't end there, oh, we still need to rain, honey. We still need God to pour out on us. We need to have some, for God to sustain us and to rain down on us and begin to flood us with his realness and the truth and who we really need to be. God will show up in fire. God will show up in power, and he will consume the altar, but it doesn't stop there. We need some fulfillment. We need God to take us to a place where he can sustain us and keep us. That way we're not following after the world all the time. So Elijah goes up, and he's on Mount Carmel. And he tells his servant, he says, I want you to go up on top of the mountain, and I want you to look out across the sea and tell me what you see. And he goes back once, and he comes back, and he says, I don't see anything. He goes back twice, and he don't see nothing. And he goes back three times, and he don't see nothing. Four times, and he don't see nothing. Five times, and he don't see nothing. And six times, and he don't see nothing. Oh, let me tell you something. You want to get somewhere with God, you got to understand what faith is, and perseverance, and tenacity, and following after God with everything that you got within you. My Lord, I feel like I'm going to explode up here. here tonight. What we got to have some faith, church, some stick to it, not just giving up, not walking away after the fire falls, but we've got to have something that will sustain us. You need to take your experience at the altar where God blessed you and that fire fell, and you keep going out. Oh, God's going to fix what my problem is. Oh, this is not over yet. Oh, we feel the fire, and then we go back to the car on Sunday morning, and we still have the same problem. We still have the same addictions. We still have the same issues. Oh, but God's not addressed your rain problem yet. I'm spitting everywhere. God showed himself to me yesterday. God, I believe God brought heaven down to me yesterday where I was at, and he began to speak to me. But I know that that's not the end of the story. Oh, I'm going to walk out on the mountain tomorrow morning. Oh, when I feel like when work problems start coming and all the issues of normal life start coming. Oh, and I feel the pressures of this world. I'm going to get up on the mountain, Sister Kay, and I'm going to look out. Oh, don't see nothing today. Guess what? Tuesday, I'm going to get up. I'm going to look out over the mountain. I'm going to look out across the sea like the man of God said, Sister Gail. I'm going to look out. Is it come yet? Oh, come Wednesday, I'm going to look out. Oh, I'm happy about Wednesday. That's church night. Oh, I'm going to get up Thursday morning. Oh, and I ain't going to see nothing. I'm going to get up Friday morning, and I'm still, oh, this might be the day that the Lord has made. This might be the day that God comes. This might be the day that he shows himself. Not going to see nothing. Get up Saturday. Might not be nothing. I heard somebody say this. What if the thing that you've been praising God for the most was on the next side of your praise? What if the thing you've been believing God for so long and you about ready to give up on God on is on the next praise that you give to him? How many times have we been one praise away or one thankfulness away from God moving and blessing our life? One time, two times, three times, he tells him, go up there, look and tell me what you see. Four times, he sees nothing. Five times, he sees nothing. Six times, he sees nothing. And he goes up the seventh time. And he looks out and he sees a cloud out across the water about the size of a man's hand. And he goes back and he tells the man of God, well, I seen a little cloud. You know what? Just a little ray of hope. Just a little bit of hope will do me some good. Any man of God, any woman of God will know just a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. That looks like a hurricane. Have you ever in faith looked at something and what other people calls dead, what other people calls desolate, what other people calls there's no hope in it? And a man or woman of God can look at it and say, that's something. That's going to be something. The servant looks out across the mountain and he sees a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he goes back and he tells the man of God what he's seen. And the man of God said, the rain is coming. That's it. Church, I'm telling you tonight, the rain's coming. You might not see the cloud today, and you might not see it tomorrow. It might take 10 times, 12 times. But all throughout this Bible, all throughout it, from cover to cover, you see where people had to go back not once, not twice, three times, four times, seven times. They had to march around the walls of Jericho more than once. What if the thing you've been believing God for is just past the next praise that you'd give God? I've got sense enough to know that if I keep going, he's going to move. The Bible says that the storm clouds rose in the land. It got dark, it got black, and it rained a great rain. fix the problem. But it took some faith. Brother Paul, are you saying that I might have to go through all of this to get to where God wants me to get? I'd rather be a preacher that walked 100 miles with God than somebody that was just given to. Because when you walk with God and you learn what different things and you have some trials, that's when you really get a relationship with God and you know that He moved for you.
Glory. Amen. Glory.
That's when you can look at somebody and say, I know where you've been because I was there. Let me tell you how God brought me through it. Marla, can you come back? I don't know if you're in here tonight. And you in a dry, desolate place. I've often thought if I had a relationship, I'd feel complete. I've often thought if I had this car, I would feel complete. Often thought if I had a title, I would feel complete. If I was this or if I was that, I would feel complete. But the only time that I've ever felt complete is in the arms of Jesus. I've seen so many people walk away from God because they stand and see the 450 prophets of Baal. They see all the bright lights. They see all the people, all the acceptance. And you're like Elijah saying, I'm just one. But look what they're doing. They got all the titles, all the names, all the reasons as to why they're right. And you just by yourself. They'll say things like, you're just a lone ranger, all by yourself. Are you willing to stand for God by yourself? Are you willing? Let me say, I just felt God. Yeah, I know your life's a mess. I know you got sin in your life. Are you willing to give it to God tonight and stand alone? God can look at millions of people but yet only see you. God can look at hundreds of thousands of people, but yet He's looking at you tonight. I'm going to say that again. I know you've got sin in your life, but are you willing to give it to God tonight and stand alone for Him? He's wanting to consume your altar with fire tonight. Not only is He wanting to consume your altar with fire, but He wants to go further than that. And He wants to send a cloud about the size of a man's hand and somehow turn that into a ripping hurricane that comes into your life and begins to pour down on you and saturates you, as the Bible says, a great rain, and begin to fill you till your cup runs over and it begins to move out of your cup all over the table. All into the floor, to the point you don't even know what to do with yourself, that you just running for God. Nothing else matters. And people will look at you and say, how in the world did God move? How in the world did God do that in your life? The person that sticks with God always comes out blessed. The person that follows after God and does not give up always comes out blessed. The reason... Listen, it would have been so easy for me to give in and just go with the world. Can I be real with you right here? I'm looking for the cup pouring day. Woo. I've had the fire experience, Sister Marks. I have seen God literally come down in services and consume me with the fire till they have to carry me out of the building because he's moving on me so strong. I've had to crawl around in the floor under the power of God so real. But I'm looking for the rain now. This little preacher's standing on Mount Carmel right now and he's looking. I know he's going to move. I have sung with great big gospel artists. I remember one time, Love His Ministry, Jason Crabb, he came out on the stage, stood right beside me and got to sing a song with him. Awesome experience. Love it. But in my heart, that's not what God called me to do. I'm a preacher. It's not what God called me to do. I've seen them pull in their big buses. That's wonderful, but that's not what God called me to do. Try my best to win souls that come running to the altar. They see Jesus and they come running to the altar. Till one day I had somebody tell me, you need to get with the program. It's a true story. You need to get with the program. If you want more people to come around, if you want to be more recognized, you want to get more engagements, you need to start singing worldly music. See, what they don't know and what people don't know. I remember one Sunday morning at my home church when I was just a young feller. I don't know, 14, 13, something like that. I was on this side of the church. And a young lady and preacher in the Pentecostal conference, Pastor Corum, she came to me, operates under the gift still to this day, awesome. She looked at me right in my face. And at this time, I don't even believe I had even learned how to play music yet. And she grabbed me by the hands. She said, Paul, I'm praying God teach you how to play the piano. And I'll never forget her pointing her finger at me, Sister Marks, and she said, don't you dare use it for anything else but God. Amen. She told me that. I told her, I reminded her of that prophecy that she gave me years ago in a revival service. She told me some other things. And I remember those, but she said, don't you ever use what God's going to give you for anything else. They told me, they said, Brother Paul, if you go to the bars and sing honky-tonk music, he said, that's an avenue, and then you can talk to them about Jesus afterwards. You can live a good life. You can go in and sing those things and not drink and it's okay. But no, that didn't work with me. They begin to tell me all these different things. You got to have this music, and you got to do this, and you got to have this and that and this and that. And I begin to get confused. And I didn't know. I'm looking. And I remember one time the Lord spoke to me and He said, if you'll just operate under the anointing, it don't matter what we play, what we sing. And when all this was starting to go on and that people begin to pull me and people begin to persecute me about this and I needed to go do that because how you win souls nowadays is you got to act like the world. You know what that is? That's a dog and pony show trying to call the God of Baal to come down and consume an altar. And you might have a light show and it might feel good, but there's not going to be an answer from the true God. You're not going to see the fire fall. You can cut yourself, you can make it to be what you want it to be, but you're going to come up short, honey. Yeah, you got everybody with you, but you're going to come up short. They begin to tell me that. Man, I got to finish. Listen, I was in my kitchen, and I've said this before. God, give me a word. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. He gave me a message, and I began to preach it to the youth. And I remember I couldn't get to the house of God fast enough. With every opportunity, I'd always preach to old people, but God had given me the opportunity to preach to young people. He was showing me something, and I would preach that message. And it didn't matter if I sung I Fly Away, When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, or the most recent praise song. They didn't care when the anointing would show up. These kids would literally run out of the pew and they would run to the altar. Oh, and they would come. I remember I was in North Carolina one time preaching and they was running to the altar. And when they would get to the altar, the Holy Ghost would come down and they would fall out under the power of God and lay there. And I didn't have to do anything. Matter of fact, I just laid the mic down one night because there wasn't nothing for this preacher to do. God was doing it all. People getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Kids 5 years old getting filled with the Holy Ghost. God moving in a way. Let me tell you, God will show up in fire. But are you going to be the man or woman of God that's going to crawl up on the mountain and say, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Can we sing that song? God, send the rain in this place tonight. God, I pray that as we move forward, Lord, we just don't want to be at a place, God, that we just, God, just get a glimpse of you, God, but we want the real and true fire in this place tonight. God, we want to even go further than that, and God, climb up on the mountain and see the rain coming. God, we don't want to follow after the world, but God, we want to get to a place, Lord, where we can feel you. God, we want to get to a place where you're ever so real to us. God, we want to get a place of substance, God, where we can be sustained. We've got to get to that place. I'm going to ask you a question. If you want to move past the fire, I don't know what stage you're at. Maybe you need God to consume your altar tonight. Maybe you're dabbling in the world and you need God to consume you. Maybe you've seen God consume you, but now you need to get to the place where you can look up out over the mountain and say, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain, God. Send the rain.